I wanted to share this message with you, and I pray. I pray, Lord, let me deliver this message with the fervor and the love with which it was given to me, that the meaning of this will ignite our hearts and our souls. And I'm going to be reading out of Ephesians 3, verse 1, and then skipping down to verse 14 through 19. I'm not going to just read it. I'm going to refer to it and incorporate it into the message as I go through this. I often experience a bit of a struggle when I'm reading Old Testament scripture. It's not the do's and the don'ts, because I actually like that stuff. It's not even the lineages in Leviticus. You know, you can go forever and ever on who begat whom. That doesn't bother me either. That doesn't bog me down. But truthfully, it's in reading the multitude of promises that God made Israel, his chosen people, the apple of his eye. And I find myself thinking, well, this is nice, but this is for Israel. How does this really affect me? I'm just being honest with you. But thank God, there's more to the story. Paul the Apostle referred to himself as being of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, and regarding the things of the law, he said he was a Pharisee. That says a lot. They knew the law backwards and forwards. He came from a long line of Pharisees. But he was also a Roman citizen with bloodlines to Herod. And in Acts 21, he actually told someone that was going back to his home in Rome to greet Herod, his kinsman. So for all these reasons, which are good reasons, Saul at the time, of course, felt it was his duty, and he was compelled to persecute those early Christians in and around Jerusalem who were continually talking about the coming Messiah. On one of his Christian finding missions, we know the story, on the road between Damascus and Jerusalem, he had a personal encounter with the newly resurrected Jesus Christ, the Messiah himself. And from that place of being a hater of all things related to Christ, he became the very first hand-picked by Jesus missionary to preach and teach the gospel of Christ to the Gentile nations. That literally just went through me. Think about how that contrast must have astounded Paul himself after Jesus met with him for those, I believe, 3 days and explained to him what was what. Then in Ephesians 2, we have the account of Paul that testified that Jesus had broken down that middle wall of partition between the laws for the Jews, the self-righteous Jews, which served to expose their sin and bring guilt, and the abolishment of sin through the free salvation that Christ brought. And then, fully grafted into the body of Christ, these lawless, unholy Gentiles. And from them, the first church was born. That's the message right there. That from this group of lawless barbarians, the Gentiles, who had no laws, they were free for all, so to speak, God birthed the first church. For through him, we both, Jew and Gentile, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. And now, therefore, ye Gentiles are no more strangers and foreigners, but are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So truly, truly, every promise in this book is mine. In chapter 3, Paul addresses the Ephesians as I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, on behalf of the Gentiles. He was locked up in prison for preaching this gospel to the Gentiles. And they were aware of his sufferings, and they had become very distraught that they had some responsibility for this. And Paul told them, don't you worry, this is your glory. My sufferings are going to be your glory in the long run. And in verse 1, Paul starts out, for this cause. What cause? The cause of preaching this gospel to the Gentile nations. I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ for you, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister unto me, who am the least of all the saints, has this grace been given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Part of those riches, and I'm telling you the truth, this is in verse 10, you can read it. Part of those riches is the knowledge given to the church that we, by the power of God working in us, will teach the demonic, the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, meaning in the air, the atmosphere, the eternal plan of God, and the manifold wisdom of God. The scripture goes on to say in verse 14, finishing what he started in verse 1, Paul has this habit of blurting something out, blop, here's the crux of the word, and then he skips all over the place, and then he comes back to the crux of the word, and that's exactly what he did in chapter 3. So he goes on to say, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, and, drum roll please, here comes one of the greatest prayers that you will find in the New Testament and the Bible, I think, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, and the depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. His prayer was not for riches, not even for health or anything else related to this earthly body or this earthly life, but that the Spirit of God would be preeminent in their hearts. And in doing so, the church would radiate the very wisdom of God to the principalities and powers of the air. Yet again, we see how God chose our imperfection to demonstrate his perfection. Thursday night, I was upstairs in my room praying about this message and this specific passage of scripture. And the Holy Spirit just fell in my room and took over my prayer. And I began to pray this very same prayer that Paul prayed over the early church in Ephesians, over each and every one of you. I cried out loud, very loud. I'm glad it was winter and my windows were pretty much closed, a little bit open, but pretty much closed, to strengthen each and every one of your inner man. You know, that spiritual part that's in each of us. And I started at the far back right corner, my right corner of the church, calling each and every one by name, according to where you generally sit, so that I wouldn't miss anybody. I pictured your faces in my prayer as I was doing this. Frida, Barbara, Sharon, Janet, Dave usually sits right about there, Teresa, Henry, Sister Watson, Becky. And then I moved to the far back of the left side of the church. Andrew usually sits where Don is today. Michael and Nancy, Brother Arden, Kevin and Jennifer, Daddy, Christy, Allie, Jan, Bridget, Lydia, Joyce and Clay, Don and Audrey, Claire and Evan, and even me. I called every one of you by name, and I asked the Lord to give you a new infusion of spiritual power and strength in your inner man, to increase your knowledge of the breadth and the length and the depth and the height of Him. He's a big God. And that we may know His boundless, measureless, exhaustless love. That we might be filled with all the fullness of God, lacking nothing. It was a precious, monumental time of prayer. And folks, I realize now, more than ever in my lifetime, how short this life really is. And that our intentional focus has to be centered on our eternal well-being. That our soul, that our very existence is centered around that great big God, with that love that goes beyond our comprehension. Donnie, turn it up a little bit because I'm going to have everyone pray. I was just playing a while ago. The song came to me on this Thursday night. Shut In With God. Brother Watson sang it many, many, many times. In a secret place. There in the spirit, beholding His face, getting new power to run in this race, I long to be shut in with God. And I know that you do too. Let's just find a place, whether where you're sitting, where you want to kneel, where you want to come forward, makes no difference. Just spend a few minutes connecting with that big, big God that we have. Sikiya Lord, fill us up. Fill us up today, Lord Jesus. We sit before you, we kneel before you, we stand before you, Lord, seeking your beauty and seeking your love, seeking your face today, Lord. Fill up the holes that this world and this life has drained out. Fill it up, Lord, to overflowing. Let the world see that you've put your stamp upon us, Lord, that our hearts are sealed with you. Oh, Lord, we just thank you for your love and your mercy. Lord, we contend for this faith. We put the effort into prayer, Lord. We put the effort into knowing you more. That we may be found righteous in your sight, Lord. That we may be found in favor of your love, Lord. Jesus, that the world can see you through us. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise your name, we praise your name, Lord. Oh, Lord, let your spirit dwell among us, within us, upon us, Lord, drenching us, Lord. Holy, Holy Spirit, we give you place among us, Lord. We give you the highest place. Oh, Shiki Amoko Satande Amokiri Amosandai. Oh, Lord, let your presence move among us. For we're hungry and thirsty for more of your spirit, Lord, more of your power. To be more like you day to day, Lord Jesus. Strengthen that inner man, Lord. We know not what road we'll walk tomorrow, but you know, Lord. Keep us in your care. Keep us in your protection, Lord. That we dwell under the shadow of your wing. Give us the strength, Lord. Give us the wisdom and the knowledge, Lord, to walk. Lord, I feel your presence. I feel your sweet, sweet spirit. Thank you. What a beautiful, holy hush. A sweet, sweet presence. I love him today. And I thank him for his word and his spirit. And I pray, Lord, that you would go with each one of us as we go from this place with a knowledge that you filled us up, Lord. That you go before us. Keep us in your care and your protection. And we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. To see me? Okay.